Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Father and our Mother, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. We are in the midst of Christmas, and we are using this time to explore the meaning of the mystery of the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, I was feeling, for some reason, mathematical, and I brought a metaphor from mathematics. I'm afraid to say that today I'm feeling more like during my chemistry years, and I bring an example from quantum physics. I have been, for some reason, thinking about atoms, and as you might remember from your chemistry classes, the most basic thing about atoms is that they have a nucleus, and then they have electrons that are orbiting around them. I see some cringe. I see some people like remembering their years of chemistry in high school or in college. Now, there's something fascinating that happens to those electrons. You know, they come in pairs. They orbit in pairs. And when they are together, there are certain characteristics that they always have no matter what. And without getting into the mathematics that I don't really comprehend, but one of those things that they have in common is that whenever one of the electrons that is paired with the other one in an orbit has an upper spin, the other one always has a down spin. And so whenever you measure one electron, the spin is up or down, the other one is the opposite, but only when they are in the same orbit. Now, there's something fascinating that happens when you have coupled two electrons together that way, and then you separate them. And then you send one really, really far away, even miles away. And then you measure the spin of this one electron, and let's say that the measurement is up. And then you go and measure the other one, and guess what the spin for the other one is? Down. Or then you measure the other one, and the other one is up. And then you come see this one, and it's down. There is no contact between them, at least no apparent contact, but somehow they have become entangled. That is the technical term, quantum entanglement. Or in less technical terms, Albert Einstein used to call this spooky action at a distance. I like his term a lot better. Now, the point is that somehow that reveals to us that nature, that reality, is more intermingled than we realize. It's more interrelated than we realize. But I also see in that spooky action from a distance a beautiful metaphor to think about the mystery of Christmas, the mystery about the incarnation. You see, the story that we remember during Christmas is not just a story of a divine being that was spiritual and then assumed form in a human being. That alone would be amazing, but there's so much more in the story than that. What the story tells us is that in the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ, God became entangled with us, the way those electrons are entangled. That in Jesus Christ, the destiny of human beings became entangled with the destiny of God in Christ. That in Jesus Christ, our pain, our suffering, our confusions, our happiness, our joys, all of it became entangled with the reality of God. Luther called this the happy exchange, so that Christ and God in Christ receives upon himself all the negativities that we have in our lives, suffering, sin, and then in exchange gives us glory, eternal life, peace, comfort. That is the happy exchange. And so it is revealed to us in this person of Christ that, as I was telling to the children, when we look around and we don't see the presence of God in obvious ways, it does not mean that God was not there, that God is not there redeeming it. Now, we just read the gospel from Matthew, and Matthew is a master in revealing this to us. Of all the gospels, Matthew is the one that quotes the Old Testament the most. And Matthew helps us understand how what is happening to Jesus is entangled, is connected to what happened in the Old Testament. Take the reading that we just heard today. If you read that gospel lesson carefully, you will see that the way Matthew tells it parallels a lot the story of when the people of Israel were aliens in Egypt. And it resembles the story of how when Pharaoh saw that there were too many Israelites and became scared because they could take over their society, he sent to kill the children, the small children. And you see that 2,000 years later, in the birth of Jesus, we see a similar situation happening when Herod, afraid from the new king that has been born, sends to slaughter the children. And somehow Matthew believes that this is done not by accident, but that this is done somehow so that the story of Jesus is like a reliving. It's like a recapitulation of the story that was happening, that happened 2,000 years before in Egypt. And so that the story is redeemed. It's entangled. Now, it is not just that Jesus in his own life relives the story of Israel, and Matthew continues that parallel throughout the whole gospel, where Jesus lives again the story of Israel, but in a sense redeems it, saves it. But it is also that Jesus takes upon himself the history of humanity and of creation as a whole, your history and my history, so that we can believe that God has been present in our lives even when we have not been able to see God's presence in a clear way. Sometimes that presence becomes obvious in wonderful events, events that are like the fireworks that we saw last night, events where all of a sudden everything just seems to align perfectly and everything just turns out the way that we wanted it to turn out. Sometimes we get the wonderful surprise that test was negative. Sometimes we get the good news that we got that job, or our kids got the job that they were hoping to get, or that they got in the right school, the school that we wanted them to get in. Or sometimes there are new relationships that were unexpected, and all of a sudden we see the hand of God in those events. But then there are also events when we wonder, where was God? Like in the slaughtering of the children, like in the wailing of Rachel for her children. And we wonder, where was God? But then when we look back, sometimes we are amazed by being able to all of a sudden discern the invisible presence of God in ways that we had not anticipated, in the person that came just in the nick of time, and the neighbor that offered help exactly when we needed it, in a coincidence that all of a sudden made something make sense that did not make sense before. It is not that the terrible thing that had happened goes away. It's still there. But that somehow there is some new meaning that we can see in it, some good that has come out of it. Now, when I was preparing the sermon, I was thinking really hard about an illustration, about the story to share with you that would highlight that. And then it occurred to me that better than me telling you a story, I think that a better exercise is for us to take a moment and to reflect in silence, in the silence of our hearts. I'm not going to ask you to share, but to reflect in our hearts about last year. And about in that last year, where can we discern God's presence? Maybe we didn't realize it back then, but maybe now as we think back, we might be able to say, there was God. And I want to invite you, I know the sermons are sometimes not very traditional, but I am preaching the word of God however we can. So I'm going to give you this card, and I'm going to invite you, if you want to, you don't have to, I'm going to invite you to write not a list of resolutions, not a list of New Year resolutions, but I want you to look back, and I want you to write first an event, if there was one, where the presence of God in your life became obvious, like the fireworks last night, in a way that was just so incredible that your heart leaped in joy. The second one is one where you felt that God was nowhere near to be found. You were going through what St. John of the Cross might call the dark night of the soul. I'm going to have to skip you because I don't have enough. And the third one is a prayer for this coming year. It's a prayer of how you yearn to see God present in your life in this year that is coming. Again, the first one is how God was obviously present in your life this last year. The second one was a moment when you felt God's absence, and yet, as you reflect about it, you see that God showed up after all. And the third one is a prayer. I invite you to finish the list later at your leisure at home. Or if you finish it, I invite you to put that in your purse, to put that in your wallet, to put that in your pocket, to put that somewhere so that you can be reminded this coming year that God shows up, that even when we cannot perceive clearly and distinctly God's presence, God is always there. And through faith, we open our hearts and we invite God to be entangled in our lives, the way those two electrons are entangled. And we know that even if we are down, God is up. And because God is up, we too will one day be up. That we can have the courage, the hope, and the determination to go to get through the situation that we have to go through. Because we know that God walks with us. We don't walk alone. Amen.